Dear friends, the focus of my Ash Wednesday message comes from our gospel reading. Karen read it, Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 through 6. I love rewards. I'll bet you do too. Last fall, Alicia and I participated in a workout program that was really based on rewards. It was a virtual workout program. We had five to 10 people that we were on a call with all across the United States, and we were virtually working out with each other. Sounds kind of strange, but that's what life is like these days. For about an hour, we put ourselves through this workout program. Alicia still does quite a few of those workouts. I kind of faded out. That's typically what happens. But for about an hour, the hour was filled with intense movements, penguins and squats and lifting of weights and push-ups and jumping and running. All the while, someone was yelling at us, telling us to do better and try harder. Now, why would anyone ever put themselves up to an hour of that kind of treatment? Rewards. Rewards. After 25 workouts, you get a t-shirt. After 50 workouts, you get a coffee mug with your name on it, something like that. That's what helped the motivation to keep that workout program going. And as I've thought about that, it is true, rewards really motivate us and move us. Why do I go to a certain gas station? It's because they give rewards. Why do I use a certain credit card? I get rewards. Why do I love Costco so much? There are rewards. They come in January. We just got it last month, and man, it's nice to have some extra monies to get something new. Rewards. We love them. We live by them. You probably do as much as I do. Well, my friends, as we take a look at Matthew chapter 6, you could say that during Jesus' time, rewards also played a significant factor in religious life. And there were three ways to rack up rewards. It was almost as if you took part in these activities, there'd be a receipt that would come your way to show you how much credit you had received. These three actions are described in Matthew chapter 6. The first action was almsgiving. You'd give a regular offering in the synagogue, but then you'd also give alms to the poor, was what that was for. This was highly praised. In fact, rabbis during Jesus' day said that giving alms was equivalent to giving, it was better than giving any kind of sacrifice, it was said during Jesus' day. So you could see how that moved people to perhaps give in a way that everyone else saw them. And they might get rewards in the community by being known as a philanthropist. This happened. Now, the second way that you racked up rewards in Jesus' day is mentioned in our text. That is by having juicy, long prayers. It was taught by the rabbis in Jesus' day that if you gave long prayers, there was no better work that God would credit to someone than saying those prayers. And you could see how that worked, that some people would hang out so that in a visible way, so that in an audible way, so that everyone could hear you say those prayers. Perhaps God would move you higher up in the order of answering those prayers, a reward. And then finally, it's just mentioned actually in our text here, there was a third way to rack up rewards, and that was by fasting. Fasting took place in the Jewish cycle on Mondays and on Thursdays. And that happened to also be a market day. So there was a large audience that was there to see if you were fasting. You might even make your face look a little more pale. And by fasting, you too would rack up a reward. You can see how this works. We too can fall into the same system. We love rewards. What if the church operated that way? If you attended on average, 2.5 Sundays per month, a reward would come your way. Or if you said long prayers, or if you cleaned up your act at home, perhaps God would bless you with some sort of reward down the line. This sort of thing. There's a problem with this situation, because it makes God out to be nothing more than an accountant, keeping track of things. It's the idea that God is doing nothing more than keeping a debit and a credit side. And as God being a just judge, his main role is just making sure that the ledger balances out, or that the ledger is at least accurate. And there's a further problem with this, because then what it would, then if this was the system that we live under, then ultimately we would just be either full of pride for having more debits than credits on our side, or we'd live with great failure and despair because the debits and credits are, there's more credits than debits, or the other way around. You understand what I'm thinking. But here's the worst possible, conclusion to all of this. If religion was nothing more than a reward system, love would be out of the equation. God would be nothing more than an accountant. A wise person once explained Christianity this way. He said that Christianity is a paradox. And he said it this way: the person who looks for a reward will never receive it in Christianity. But the person who looks for love and not looking for a reward at all will also get a reward. My friends, today, earlier in this service, tonight, I should say, we made the sign of the cross on our foreheads. God is not just simply a rewarder or a punisher. And God isn't just, the purpose of Lent isn't just to get rewards, like spending these 40 days, if you fast and if you pray extra hard, that you'll get some sort of credit at the end of the 40 days. God isn't marking off how we're doing throughout the season of Lent in 2021. That's not the way that it works. You see, the mark on our foreheads tells us that we are a part of a relationship, a loving relationship. And it tells us a reality. The ash is not great news, because it tells us that you will die. I will die. Genesis chapter 3, verse 19 basically says that. From dust we have come, and to dust we shall return. We die because of the sin of Adam and Eve. We die because their condition has passed on to us. We die because we too have made sinful choices. That is a reality. That's what this sign means. But my friends, the ash is made in the sign of the cross. And that tells us something too. That Jesus went to the cross to beat the curse of death and sin. And the purpose of this mark is not as if it's something that we do to rack up a reward and a receipt so that God can pay us back for down the road, but it's a mark to tell you that you're in a relationship, a loving relationship with God the Father. That's what Lent is all about. One of the joys of a parent happens when a child does something without any thought of a reward. Isn't that how the relationship is kind of, that's the foundation of a parent-child relationship. It is kind of a reward-punish kind of relationship. If the room is messy, punishment. If they don't do what they're supposed to do, punishment. If they do the dishes, reward. That's good parenting, we say. But you see, a beautiful moment happens when out of nowhere on one day, the child just simply does something good and the parent has never asked. They do it because they're so secure in the loving relationship of their parent. And when that day comes, it's the most beautiful day for a parent. Trust me, I'm going through that right now. And it's also one of the most beautiful moments for the children, because they don't have to think of their parents as an accountant who just is keeping track of their rights and wrongs. They realize they're loved and in a relationship. That, my friends, is what Lent is all about. We are at the point of being loved that you see that we can do the things that Jesus mentions in Matthew chapter 6. We can do those three things, not for reward, but because we're loved. May this Lent season be one that is filled with those three activities. Yeah, giving to the poor, that's a good thing. It's a wonderful thing, not to get a reward, but because we're loved by the Father. To pray, that's a good thing. Not so that we get a reward, but to be in fellowship with our Creator. And finally, to fast. That's a good thing too. Not to get a reward, but simply because our God provides and we're in a secure position, held in our Father's hands. May that be something that we hold on to heading into this Lent season. It's about a relationship that we're dearly loved. Amen.